Good afternoon. This is The Synthetic Lens. I'm David Carver. We have a fresh trial watch update from Musk versus OpenAI in Oakland. First, the docket check. At our 1 p.m. Pacific run, we checked the official Northern District of California case page, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez Rogers' public calendar, court listener, Pacer adjacent sources, and direct recap storage probes. We found no new public May 5th or May 6th transcript, no new minute entry, no new exhibit packet, and no ruling on OpenAI's request for a curative instruction. So what follows is not a transcript episode, it is a carefully attributed courtroom reporting episode based mainly on Reuters and The Guardian. Marcus Chen is here on technology and power. Stan Rogers is here for the legal guardrails. Marcus, yesterday's theme was Musk, control, Mars, and the money machine. Today, the trial turned inward.
It did. Reuters reported Wednesday that former OpenAI chief technology officer Mira Murati testified by recorded video, and her testimony aimed directly at Sam Altman's leadership during one of the most fragile periods in OpenAI's history. According to Reuters, Murati said, "Altman sowed distrust among top executives and persistent chaos as OpenAI was pushing ahead with powerful AI systems." Her quoted line is blunt. "My concern was about Sam saying one thing to one person and completely the opposite to another person."
That is a very different kind of testimony from the Brockman material.
Exactly. Brockman's testimony helped OpenAI argue that Musk was not simply the betrayed nonprofit guardian, that he supported a pro forma path but wanted control. Murati's testimony opens a different front. Whether OpenAI's own internal governance was healthy, honest, and stable while the company was becoming commercially enormous. Reuters reported that Murati said Altman was creating chaos and at times was deceptive with her and others. She also affirmed under questioning that he pitted executives against one another and undermined her in her CTO role.
And we should pause on the procedural posture. This is testimony reported by Reuters, not a court finding. It does not mean a judge has concluded Altman was deceptive. It means jurors heard recorded testimony from a former senior executive describing internal distrust and chaos. That can matter, because Musk's case is partly about mission, control, fiduciary obligations, and whether OpenAI's leaders can be trusted with the nonprofit-to-commercial transformation they built.
Stan, Murati was briefly CEO after Altman was pushed out in November 2023. Does that history make this testimony more explosive?
It makes it more complicated, which is usually more interesting than explosive. Murati was not an outside critic wandering in from the cheap seats. She was the CTO. She briefly became CEO during the board crisis. And according to Reuters, even while criticizing Altman's conduct, she said she wanted him to continue as CEO and press board members for a fuller explanation of why they had removed him. Reuters quotes her saying, "OpenAI was at catastrophic risk of falling apart, and I was concerned about the company completely blowing up." So the jury is not just hearing Altman bad. They're hearing the company was internally unstable, the board's action was poorly explained, and senior leaders were trying to stop a collapse.
That is the governance story in miniature. OpenAI's public myth is controlled acceleration. The best people building dangerous technology inside a structure designed to balance mission and markets. Murati's testimony, as reported, suggests the internal reality was more jagged. Contradictory messages, executives losing trust, and a company so important that even critics of the CEO feared removing him could tear the place apart.
Which brings us to why this matters in Musk's trial. Musk is not suing because OpenAI had messy management. He's suing over the founding bargain and the for-profit transition.
Correct. Bad management alone is not Musk's case. The legal issue is not whether Altman was a perfect executive, but governance evidence can shape how jurors view motive and credibility. Musk's side wants to show that OpenAI's leaders drifted from the nonprofit mission into a commercial structure that enriched insiders and advantaged Microsoft. OpenAI wants to show Musk supported commercialization when he could control it, then turned against the company when he lost that fight and later built xAI. Murati's testimony gives Musk's side a way to say, don't just look at Musk's behavior, look at the internal trust problems around Altman and the board.
And it changes the emotional center. Yesterday's story was a power struggle with Musk at the table, demanding equity, CEO authority, and maybe Mars-scale capital. Today's story is The Castle After the King is Challenged. Senior executives worried the company might implode, a board that couldn't or wouldn't fully explain itself, and a CTO saying the CEO created chaos while still believing the company needed him.
The second new courtroom thread is Siobhan Zillis. The Guardian reported Wednesday that Zillis took the stand. Marcus, keep this tight because there are personal details here and the relevance is not gossip.
Right. The legal relevance is conflict, information flow, and board credibility. Zillis is a Neuralink executive, a former OpenAI board member, and the mother of four of Musk's children. The Guardian reports that OpenAI has argued Zillis was involved in a secret relationship with Musk while also working with OpenAI and serving as a link to his board, and that she acted as an inside source for him. The most important piece is a 2018 text quoted by The Guardian from court filings. Zillis asked Musk whether she should stay, quote, close and friendly to OpenAI to keep info flowing or began to disassociate. Musk replied, close and friendly, and discussed recruiting OpenAI people to Tesla.
That is relevant because it cuts against a clean separation story. If the jury believes OpenAI's framing, then after Musk left, he still had a trusted channel into OpenAI's orbit. But again, careful language. OpenAI argues this. Zillis testified. We do not have the full transcript. The existence and meaning of those communications are part of the evidentiary fight, not settled findings from the bench.
The Guardian also reported Brockman's earlier testimony about Zillis.
Yes. Brockman reportedly said that after Musk left OpenAI, Zillis was kind of our proxy Elon in some ways, and was very involved in the restructuring of OpenAI into a for-profit entity. That phrase matters because it turns Zillis from a personal sidebar into a governance witness. She sits at the crossing point between Musk's camp, OpenAI's board history, and the contested for-profit transition.
And the board disclosure issue matters for credibility. The personal relationship details are sensitive, and they should not be treated as spectacle. The courtroom relevance is whether OpenAI's board and leaders understood Zillis' ties to Musk, whether those ties created conflicts, and whether information was flowing back to a founder who had left and was later a competitor.
So we now have two new witness threads, Marotti on Altman's internal leadership and Zillis on Musk's alleged information channel. How do they fit together?
They make the trial less binary. The easy version is Musk versus OpenAI, betrayed founder versus greedy startup, or sore loser versus successful company. The testimony coming out now is messier. OpenAI can point to Musk seeking control, allegedly wanting a majority stake and using personal channels. Musk can point to internal chaos, board distrust, and executives questioning Altman's conduct. Both stories can be partially true, which is exactly why the trial is interesting.
That's also why Judge Gonzales-Rogers' narrow framing matters. She has not let the trial become a referendum on whether AI will doom humanity. The court is trying to keep the jury focused on promises, governance, corporate structure, and legally relevant conduct. But the human evidence keeps pulling in the broader drama. Loyalty, ambition, distrust, romantic relationships, billion-dollar incentives, and the fear that one wrong move could blow up the most important AI company in the world.
What should listeners watch next?
First, the primary record. We still need a May 6th minute entry, trial sheet, transcript, or exhibit packet. If those appear, they may sharpen or correct the secondary accounts. Second, any ruling on OpenAI's curative instruction request tied to earlier testimony about Microsoft and the small adjunct language. Third, whether Marotti's testimony gets corroborated or expanded by additional outlets. Fourth, whether Altman himself takes the stand soon. If Marotti's recorded testimony has put his credibility in front of the jury, Altman's live testimony could become one of the trial's central moments.
And watch the theme shift. Week one asked whether Musk was betrayed. Early week two asked whether Musk actually wanted the for-profit future just under his control. Now the question is whether OpenAI's own governance was stable enough to deserve the jury's trust. That's a sharper and more dangerous question for everyone involved.
Here's the lens. The Musk versus OpenAI trial is no longer just a founding story dispute. It is becoming a stress test of every relationship around OpenAI's rise. Musk and Altman, Altman and Muradi, Zillis and both sides, the board and the executives, the nonprofit mission, and the capital machine. Reuters' Muradi report puts Altman's leadership style into the record. The Guardian's Zillis report puts information flow and board conflict into the record. Neither decides the case, but together they make the jury's task harder and more revealing. We will keep watching the court docket and separate transcripts from reports as soon as the primary record catches up. For now, the trial's latest turn is this. After days of arguing over who wanted control of OpenAI, jurors are now hearing why the people inside OpenAI were struggling to trust each other. I'm David Carver, State Critical.